Take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah 26, and I have about 25, 30 scriptures to look at this morning, and obviously we are not going to look at all of those, but I want to, if I'm able to get this thought across and then how to put it in motion, I will be thrilled. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, and let's get ready to pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you, God, that you watch over your word to perform it. I believe, Father, that your word goes forth and it does not return void, but it accomplishes that which you desire. It prospers in the thing for which you sent it. Father, your word brings life. Your word brings light. Thank you. Thank you. And Father, along with your word this morning, we just want the Holy Spirit to speak to each person's heart. Just to speak to each person's heart. And you reveal what you want to reveal to each one. And I just want to be a vessel, a servant that you're able to use. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. I've just been pondering that all week long. It's just been running through me, and I've just been thinking about it. Look at that. Look at that verse. Just you, talking to God, about God, and what God does, you, God, will keep him in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. How many in here would like to be kept in perfect peace? Amen. Amen. You, God, will keep him in perfect peace. I just, like I said, that verse of scripture, I've just been pondering it all week long. All kinds of stuff will go on. All kinds of trials will take place. All kinds of storms. Stuff will happen. Decisions will need to be made. Things will go on. But God will keep the person whose mind is stayed on him in perfect peace. One of the keys, one of the secrets to having perfect peace is to have our minds stayed on God. And then a question might be, well, how do I keep my mind stayed on God? How do I keep my mind stayed on him? Well, one of the best ways I know to keep my mind stayed on God is keep my mind stayed on his word. You know, how many of you know the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you want to keep your mind stayed on God, keep your mind stayed on his word. Okay, this is going to start out, but it's so amazing how many things happen in our life when we keep our mind stayed on God, when we keep our mind stayed on his word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the word. When you keep your mind on the word, you're keeping your mind on Jesus. Jesus is the perfect representation. He's the thumbprint of God in this world. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I tell you what, it is so important to keep our minds on God's word. And then the things that happen when we do. I tell you what, I started writing a list of things that happen in our lives when we just keep God's word in our mind and in our mouth. And it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, the couple of thoughts. Keep your mind stayed on God. Keep your mind stayed on God's word. And then I want to read the next verse here. Let me read verse 3 again. You will keep him in perfect peace. You know, and part of this is going to be customizing and making this purple personal. God, you keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on you. God, you keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on you. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And when I see Jesus, I see God. When I want to know what God is like, I look to Jesus. And when I keep my mind on you, Jesus, I'm keeping my mind on the Father. And Father, you're keeping me in perfect peace. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's great stuff to run through you when there's a storm raging. When there's a storm raging. I love something in the book of Acts. I'm not going to, not Acts, but in Corinthians. I'm not going to go there. But I just want to make reference to it. That years ago, I got this revelation, and it's one of those that's grown. But pretty much everybody is familiar with Paul and his thorn in the flesh. And you can have lots of discussions and lots of back and forth and lots of different beliefs and everything, what Paul's thorn in the flesh is. But we're not going there right now. Here's what we're going to do. Could we say that Paul was in the middle of it? He pleaded with the Lord 3 times that this would depart from him. You ever been there? You ever been in a situation where you're pleading with the Lord? And Paul had a great relationship with the Lord. So I think when it came to pleading with the Lord and having that relationship, there was some serious conversation going on. But he pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from him. Where is he looking in the middle of the storm? Where has he got his eyes? Yeah, he's looking at the Father. He's keeping his mind on the Father. And he's pleading with him in the middle of this storm. And I love it. This just always caught me years ago. He's pleading with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from him. And then God speaks to him and says, my grace is sufficient for you. That's part of what he said. My grace is sufficient for you. Then do you know what Paul did next? Do you know what happened to Paul next? Do you know the next thing, the next words that came out of his mouth? Came out of his mouth. Yeah, he went from pleading to most gladly, therefore. Most gladly. What changed? What changed? Did you know the circumstances that Paul was in? They didn't change. But what changed? Paul changed. Paul changed. Do you know you can be in one storm and have 2 totally different ways of dealing with it? Amen. One is pleading and wanting to run away and get over it. Just get that. The other one is have a word from God. And then most gladly, therefore. I tell you what. Looking to God, looking to His Word, and getting a hold of it, that can change us in ways that give us the strength and an ability to walk through stuff we never thought we could. Amen? Amen? And I just want to exhort you, if you want to have perfect peace in the middle of storms, keep your mind stayed on Him. Turn and look at somebody and say, I will keep my mind stayed on Him. How many of you know there's the God side and the man side? How many of you know He's got His part to play and we have our part to play? How many of you know He always does His part? I love that scripture where it says, even though we are faithless or even though we are unfaithful, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. I just love that. Even when I mess up, even when I blow it, even when I am not faithful, He is still faithful. God will always, always, always do his part. Go with me if you would, and we're not following any notes right now. Go with me if you would, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You still glad you're here? Okay, a couple of, last Sunday it was, I was talking to Terry, and he shared, somebody said to him, if you can't preach it in 20 minutes, it ain't worth preaching. And I said, well, I can preach it in 20 minutes, I just can't teach it in 20 minutes. How many of you know there's a difference between teaching and preaching? We're gonna get into this a little bit here this morning. I want to encourage you, be faithful in doing your part when it comes to being in the Word of God. Be faithful in doing your part when it comes to being in the Word of God, keeping your mind stayed on Him, keeping your mind focused on the Word, and we'll keep going. But I just love this. If you're in 2 Chronicles, did I say 2 Chronicles the first time? Yay! Many, if not all of us, are very familiar with this story, Jehoshaphat. Verse 1, and it happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then Jehoshaphat gathers all of the people together, gets them to focus on God. There it is again. What's going on? They're about to get attacked. They're about to have the enemy just... multiple different sources of enemy coming against them, and they put their focus on God, and God gives them a word. Now, we're going to jump. Verse 12. O our God, we will not judge, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judea and their little ones, their wives and their children, stood. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of, boy, why did I get into this verse? Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, the Levite, the son of Asaph, as in the midst of the congregation. And he said, listen, all you of Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord your God, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Everybody say, the battle's not yours, but God's. Amen. So here you get this word, the battle is not yours, but God's. If you got a word like that, from, you know, a trusted source, if God spoke that to your heart, or if he spoke that through you to somebody, the battle is not yours, but God's. What might you be inclined to do? Well, God's got it covered. He's got it taken care of. I don't have to do anything. Might anybody go that way? I know I would in my thinking. I might go that way. Well, this one's taken care of. But we got to keep reading. See, there's the God side, and there's our side. You, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What's my part? Keep my mind stayed on him. What's his part? Keep me in perfect peace. If I do my part, he'll do his part. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Middle of verse 15. Do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. What? Wait a second. I thought the battle wasn't mine but God's. I don't have anything to do. I don't have my part. Tomorrow, go down against them. How many of you are going, what? Anybody? When you read it and you look at it, it's like, come on, God, either it's yours or it's mine. You know what? It's ours. It's together. He'll do his part. We just be obedient to what he tells us to do. Amen? And how many of you know he's going to carry the heavy end? How many of you know he already carried the heavy end? Remember that old Christian t-shirt? You got a picture of Jesus. And it's kind of like, you know, bent over, like doing push-ups. And here's the cross on his back. The sins of the world. How many of you know he did his part? He's got the heavy end. We get our part to do. What's our part? Keep your mind stayed on him. Keep your mind stayed on him. So let's keep looking at this. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourselves. How many of you are catching the little theme here? They had their part, right? And God would do his part. That's part of what I want to say. We've got our part. God will do his part. Now, head back with me, if you would, please, to the book of Isaiah chapter 26. Don't know if you kept a marker there or not. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to zoom this thing to the end real fast here. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have go-to scriptures? I mean, you got go-to scriptures. Will you do me a favor? Will you raise your hand if that's you? Just yeah, Pastor. I've got go-to scriptures. How many of you in here maybe can use the same go-to scripture for multitude of different scenarios in life? Amen? How many of you in here have ever been in a place in life and you were looking for a scripture? Okay, I want us to do something, and I want you guys all to do something. I want you to be a part of this. I want to give you assignment. I want to give you something to do where you do ministry, where you do your part. Here's what it is, and you could bring them all back in 2 weeks. So you got 2 weeks to do this assignment. And here's the assignment. You just make a list of your go-to scriptures. Chapter, verse, book, write it out. You can write it out by hand. You can type it up. You can put it on your phone. You can do whatever. But you take your go-to scripture and you get it written out so you can hand it to us here at the church. Now, how many of you with those go-to scriptures have a testimony in connection with those scriptures? Here's the other thing I'd love you to do. Put your testimony with that scripture. Write out how that scripture impacted your life, a certain situation in your life. How it changed it, how it got you through. How it turned everything around. How it made all the difference in the world. And you can go back to that scripture again and again and again. Amen? How many of you will do that? Because see, here's what I'd like to do. Is to take all those go-to scriptures that people within the body have. Get them all together, collected in one spot. I'm going to add some to it. And then we have just a little booklet, pages of that. Because this week I had a person say to me, Pastor, I know I got to be focusing in on the word, but I don't know where to go. You ever been there? You ever, I need a verse. I need God's word on this. So anybody in here got a go-to scripture for finances? Go ahead, put your hand up high if you do. This is going to be, you know, interactive message right here, you know. We're going to, yeah, Pastor, I got, how many of you got more than one scripture? So we take all those and we put them together. And if you got a story, a testimony that goes with that, then somebody says, you know what, where's that little booklet with all those scriptures? I need to get a hold of that. So we get a hold of it and they go, oh, I need something on finances. How many of you in here got a verse of scripture for peace? Amen? Put it in there. What are some other scriptures? Holler out where you're at. Don't be shy on me, okay? Don't be shy on me. Be bold. You don't have to quote the whole verse of scripture, but just you got a verse of scripture on some subject matter that means the world to you. Jan, you were back there nodding your head. Joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Got a scripture right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Amen. I heard someone over here. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, Philippians. Dorothy. Amen. Amen. Do you know how much wisdom? Do you got a testimony that goes with that, Dorothy? Oh, my, yes. Yeah, I've got to hear some of Dorothy's testimonies. You know, just think about it. Not only are you getting scripture, but you're getting a testimony of how God used and watched over his word to bring about victory in somebody's life. You know what burns with inside of me? This just burns with inside of me. Probably more than anything else, is watching people have victory in life. Amen. Watching people being able to stay in peace through the middle of a storm. That just burns on the inside of me. You know what hurts the most? Is watching people hurt. I can easily say with John, the apostle of love, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth, walking in victory in the middle of the storms. And probably every one of us in here at some place in our life have had God lead us into triumph and lead us into victory through a storm, through a circumstance, and there's that scripture that goes with it. Do you have any idea how much that can bless and help somebody else? How cool would it be? You've taken that scripture, you've shared it more than one, brought them to the church, we've put them together, and then somebody walks up to you, and I'd love to attach your name to that scripture. These scriptures, this testimony came from so-and-so. And then here you are in church one day, and somebody walks up to you and says, man, I want to tell you thank you for putting that in. I want to thank you for writing that out and putting your testimony there, because I hit the same scenario. I hit the same situation, and I was able to go to that. And I know that God is no respecter of persons. And when he does it for one, he'll do it the other. And I'm part of that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. Now, did you get back to Isaiah 25, 26, verse 4, trust in the Lord forever. I want to finish the verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. That's interesting, because he trusts in you. What's the person do? He trusts in the Lord. And that's why he keeps his mind stayed on him, and the Lord keeps him in perfect peace. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to quit with this verse of scripture. Proverbs 22:17. Anybody in here ever wondered if you trusted in the Lord? Has the devil ever tried to get you to question your trust? He's a liar. Turn to look at somebody and say, he's a liar. It's amazing. If somebody came into your house and lied to you as much as Satan does, you probably wouldn't let them in your house anymore. You'd boot them right out. But it's amazing how many people let Satan just stay in their head, lying away and just lying. He is a liar. He will try to tell people, you don't trust God. You don't have any faith. Anybody in here ever heard that you don't have any faith? Okay. Can I get more hands to go up? By raising your hands today, you're helping me, and I need help. Somebody said, amen. Okay. Where was I at? The enemy will tell you, you don't have any faith. How many of you know that's a lie? The Bible says that God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. You have faith. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Praise God. I got faith. And not only that, not only do I have faith, you have faith. And not only do you have faith, you have world overcoming faith. Amen. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. But yet, Satan will lie to people. He'll lie to people. He'll tell, but you don't have any faith. Man, I'll tell you what, a great way to shut him down is with the Word. Is with the Word. What was the question I was asking earlier? I lost track of it. So did you. We're all in the same boat. Trust. Has the enemy ever tried to tell you that you're trust? You don't have trust. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Would that include God's word? Would that like be the starting place? The number one place to incline your ear to hear the words of the wise? Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed on your lips. Remember the verse of scripture that we looked at last Sunday for those of you who were here? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Or, we said it this way, this book of God's word shall not depart from your mouth. Where are we supposed to have God's word? In our mouth. How often can you have God's word in your mouth? I mean, you can be walking down the street, walking in the grocery store, hiking a mountain. You can have God's word in your mouth almost in any situation. Amen? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous and deal wisely in all the affairs of life. What happens to our life when we keep God's word in our mouth? It has an impact on us. Did you know God's word, when you keep God's word in your mouth, is going to have an impact on your heart? It's going to have an impact on your heart. Look at this verse of scripture here again. Let them all be fixed on your lips, verse 19, so that your trust may be in the Lord. What happens to our heart? What happens to our trust when we keep God's word fixed on our lips? So that your trust may be in the Lord. How many of you would love to have your mind stayed on Him? I'll tell you what, keep God's word in your mouth. Keep God's word in your mouth. This book of His word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, going over it and going over it. How many of you found out that when you meditate on God's word, you find yourself doing it? The more I meditate on God's word, the more I find myself doing it. Forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Verse of scripture I've meditated on, confessed, thought about a lot, taught. But forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. You know what meditating on that, getting in my heart and getting it in my head, does to me when I encounter situations where I need to forgive somebody? That verse comes up. That verse comes up. It's right there. Forgive one another. How many of you always want to forgive the person? How many of you might want to have a different reaction? I remember one guy I was visiting with him, and I was just doing a good deed. That's all I was doing. I was just doing a good deed. And this guy lit into me, and I am not kidding you. There's a rail there. I put both hands on the rail, and I hang on. Because this guy is insulting me every way you can think of. He is telling me how important he is and I have no right and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I deliberately, mentally think, Joel, hang on to the rail. Hang on to the rail. Guy was older, a lot older. And part of my thinking was, it will look really bad in the paper. That was part of my thinking. Need to forgive. When that was going on, forgive. I'm not going to forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. One time I had a guy say to me, thank you. I had let him borrow my chainsaw for a week, and I had just become a Christian. And, oh, you always have a backup chainsaw, or you want to. And I let him borrow my chainsaw for a week, and he goes, thank you. I went, no, thank God. He goes, no, thank you. I went, no, thank God. He goes, no, thank you. I said, buddy, if it wasn't for God, I would have never let you borrow my chainsaw for a week, so thank God. He went, okay. You know, but you get God's word on the inside of you, and it's crazy, but see, it's full of life. Jesus said, the words that I say to you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. You get it in you, even though you can't see it, even though you might not feel it. How many of you know we walk by faith and not by sight? How many of you know your feelings will lie to you? I learned a long time ago, I can't go by feelings. I just can't do it. I'd have been beating up a 90-year-old man. That'd have been bad. That'd have been real bad. Amen. You can't go by feelings. But I'm going to go by his word. I'm going to keep his word fixed on my lips so that my trust will be in him. I don't know if you figure out who this gentleman is or not. If you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. This gentleman I'm talking about had a situation to do with the road. That's his road. I didn't dare mess with his road. Well, about a month ago, this gentleman came up to me and said, hey, fix that road. Do whatever you need to do. I'll pay for it. Quite a turnaround. Quite a turnaround. I'll pay for it. Do whatever you need to do. Now, if you can get other people to throw some money in, that'd be great. But if not, I'll pay for it. How did we get from where he's just letting me have it up one side and down the other to do whatever you want to do, just get that road fixed and I'll pay for it? How did it get there? Well, part of it was getting God's word fixed on my lips. That could have gone a whole different direction. Amen? How many of you in here would like to love life and see good days? Amen. Restrain your lips from speaking evil, from guile, from deceit. Well, what's a great way to cause your lips to not speak evil or deceit? Speak God's word. Speak God's word. He who gets God's word in his mouth will love life and see good days. I want to do a sermon called How to Live Happy. How to Live Happy. How many of you know you can live happy? Yeah. You can just live happy. You can live happy. I didn't say there weren't any storms or trials, but you can just flat live happy. I'm sounding like a guy I like to listen to. Happy, happy, happy. Phil, I just like listening to Phil. That man, I like his testimony. I like the way he does things. Amen. You, God, will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on you, because we trust in you, God. Let my word be fixed on your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. This is a word for somebody. I'm not going to point them out, but this is a word for somebody, and it'll probably apply to other people too. When you're in the middle of it, and when you're going through it, and someone's sharing with you, or you're having a conversation with the Father, and you catch yourself and you hear yourself saying, well, yeah, but, knock it off. It's your yeah buts. It's your excuses. It's your justifications that keep you where you're at. If you want to get out of where you're at, with the yeah buts, and put God's word in your mouth instead. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, that's specifically for one person for sure, but I'll bet you it applies to others. You know, I talk to people, and I'll hear them with their excuses. And do you know what? People's excuses are legitimate to them. But they're not so good with the Father. And lots of times those excuses don't line up with the Word of God at all. So turn and look at somebody and go, shh. Shh. Hush. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that wasn't a very nice word, Pastor. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It's kind of Bob and Lisa, I'll think about you guys and Isaac and this. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. Driving to Denver, get to Lusk, detour. Got to get to the airport. Detour? We don't have time for a detour. We got to get to the airport. How many of us respond like that when we see the detour sign? We view the detour sign as negative and unkind to our wishes. Amen? But do you know it is actually very kind to your wishes? That detour will help you get where you need to be without near the delay. Yeah, because Bob and Lisa would have driven, oh my gosh, I should have gone to school longer. They would have driven, I almost said droven again, they would have driven 20 miles into Lusk, saw that the bridge was out, had to turn around and come back another 20 and follow the detour. They would have wasted 40 miles. Or driven off the bridge. Amen? So, you know what? That's a good word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Be careful with your excuses. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you are glad you're here? It feels kind of quiet today. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah? Is anybody happy? Anybody happy, happy, happy? Well, if you're happy and you know it, then your face should surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. You got a happy song? Babe, you got a happy song? You know what? How many of you are going to do your assignment? I'm hoping everybody in here, how many of you will do your assignment, your go-to scriptures, you'll get chapter and verse, you'll get that scripture written out, and you'll bring a testimony that goes with it when there's a testimony that goes with it. Amen? You'll do that and bring them. Bring multitudes of them, and we'll put them together, and we'll have them here for people to take. Amen? You can share your testimonies with people. Impact people's lives. And you're going to, someone saying, I looked over at Carol and I was thinking, Carol's going to say, Pastor, I'm going to have 25 pages. Praise God. Praise God. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you, God, that you want us to live in perfect peace. That you desire that for us. And the crazy thing is, you know there's storms. You know that we're going to have stuff that we walk through. You know we're going to have stuff that we face. You know it's going to happen. Yet you give us instruction on how to build our lives in such a way that when the storms hit, we're not shaken. And Father, it's amazing to me where you said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them will be this way. Father, we're not in this building this morning just to do church and our religious duty for a week. We're here because we love you. We're here because we worship you. We're here because we want to live a life that is brighter and brighter. It impacts our world and influences our world greater and greater. That's why we're here. We're here because we love you and we worship you and praise you. So, Father, thank you that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you work in our lives. you work in our lives and you teach us and you show us things and you help us to strengthen one another in the things of you. And as we're praying, as we're getting ready to pray, if you're in this building and you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do so. You can come to this altar when we pray for a variety of different things. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for never leaving us nor forsake us. Thank you for healing. Thank you for provision. Thank you for abundance. Thank you, God, that you are the God who is more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Brian and Marge, if you want to come on up, and Jan, if you want to come on up. We just have a time of prayer at the end for people. If you got prayer, you want prayer for anything, you want to come up and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want someone to lay hands on you and pray that you get healed, or you need a word from God, some wisdom, some direction, someone to stand with you, just invite you to come on up, and these folks here, they'll pray with you. Love to pray with people. You can sing along with the worship team for a while, and if you need to slip out and go ahead and slip out, but give somebody a hug and let them know how wonderful they are before you leave here today. Amen. God. So folks, service is officially over, but yet ministry will still take place. So love on somebody, sing along, give somebody a high five or a hug, come on up for prayer, and enjoy the rest of your day. Amen.